Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I want to talk about something that I want you and I to take a lesson from some folks that have been around, that were in business long before you and I were. You know, the patent office, the U.S. Patent Office, is over 200 years old, and I've forgotten when the first patent was filed, but it was over 200 years ago. I have that information somewhere around here, but I've told you about it. I've mentioned it that on that day, so to speak, when it happened. But it's been I know that it was in, you know, the late 1700s or something like that. So, and then I just mentioned in the previous segment that in 1878. Robert Cheeseborough, the founder of Cheeseborough Ponds, registered a name. He registered the name Vaseline. Now, okay, apparently he'd already created the product. And I don't know exactly the history of that. But for some reason, 132 years ago, Robert Cheeseborough felt that he needed to protect the name Vaseline. Now think about this. Now, think about what was going on in 1872. The West was still the Wild West. There were still lots and lots of U.S. territories, and probably, you know, a huge portion of the country that hadn't even become states yet. This was 7 years after the Civil War. The global trade was very slow and laborious. I mean, this is the kind of environment that Robert Cheeseborough found himself in. He created a product that consumers would use, and he came up with a name, Vaseline. And he determined that this was something that he needed to protect. This was something that he needed to make sure that he owned and that nobody else could have 132 years ago. Now, why did he do that? Well, in those days, I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances that somebody else would come up with a product like his and a name like his and try to steal it from him? What are the chances in those days? But yet he felt it was important to do. And why would somebody patent 200 years ago? Why would somebody patent something? What did they think? What were they thinking? They were thinking that I have an asset here. I know something. I've developed something. I've built something. I've designed something. I've structured something. I've thought of something. I've created something that belongs to me. And I want to own this thing, this idea, this name. It's mine. I created it. I want to leverage it in the marketplace. I want to use it, and I want to own it. And also, not just own it, I want to have control over it, meaning I don't want other people to be able to use it instead of me, or to dilute my name or my product, to dilute it by putting it out there in another variation that usurps the power of what I've created, the value of what I've created. Now, this is what is in the has been in the minds of entrepreneurs in America for over 200 years. And so now, here we are in 2010. You're a small business owner. Now, you may not be an inventor. Maybe you won't ever create a consumer product like Robert Cheeseborough did. But you are creating things. You are naming things. You are developing things, structures, systems, processes, strategies, whatever it may be, that are manifesting in something tangible. It could be a product. It could be a certain method of delivery. It could be a form, literally a form. It could be a computer diagram or something. I don't know what it is. It could be anything. And here's what I want you to do. And I know I've been talking about this for a long time. But I want to remind you, Robert Cheeseborough, this thing really reminded me of how important this is for you and me to recognize that when we create these things, we need to protect them. Now, some things that you might say, well, wait a minute, how can I patent this delivery schedule that I've come up with that saves money on gas and I've developed a way to train customers so that they're happy with our new schedule, et cetera, et cetera. You can't patent that. But you if you gave it a name, if you came up with a name and you wanted to sell that system, you could sell that name. You might be able to patent certain parts of that, but here's what's more important. It's yours. It belongs to you. You have a right to protect it. You have a right to make sure that other people don't get it. And remember, part of intellectual property, in fact, a huge, maybe the largest segment of intellectual property besides trademarks, patents, and that sort of thing, and copyrights, trademarks, copyrights, and patents. The clearly the larger segment of the IP, in addition to those three, are trade secrets. And so whatever you know, whatever you've developed, whatever you have, that gives you a competitive advantage, and that you're pretty sure, because you know a little bit about what your competitors are doing, you're pretty sure you've come up with something that gives you an advantage and they don't know about, then you should recognize that this is your intellectual property and you should protect it as a trade secret until it acquires the kind of critical mass that makes it something, which would include a name or something could be patented, something that could be registered or patented. Until it acquires that, protect it as a trade secret. When we come back after this next break, I want to talk about how to do that, how you can do that. And I'm going to talk about including things like that you can protect in the online world. I'm going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I promise. I'll be right back. Dan Fogelberg bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great Dan Fogelberg. Still miss him. Died too young, way too young. What a great talent. And that's from the Innocent Age album, by the way. It's a double album. Maybe one of the, it's, in my opinion, it's right up there with Tapestry and Court and Spark as far as great albums of the 70s and early 80s. And it's still great music. I don't care who you are. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame, and that's all the music. I'm not going to spin any more platters for you this segment, but I would like to encourage you to go to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out and use it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff you can do there. You got 5 seconds, 15 minutes. Anywhere in between, we got something that will help you there with your small business, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, if you're on Twitter, you want to follow me there. I'm at Jim Blasingame. In the previous segment, I was talking about our intellectual property, mine and yours. And I will tell you that I have been asleep at the switch before. I was talking about the importance of recognizing that you create small business owners. I know you're not Ford. I know you're not GM. I know you're not IBM, Xerox, you know, Pepsi, Coca-Cola. I know you're not those guys. It doesn't matter. If you're in business, you're creating intellectual property. You have intellectual property. You own intellectual property. The only thing that you might not be doing is protecting it, is recognizing that you have it, protecting it and leveraging it in the right way. And you also have to realize that a lot of the intellectual property you're creating, as does Coca-Cola, is a trade secret. Their formula, the Colonel's 13 herbs and spices, those aren't patented. Those aren't registered. Those are definitely trade secrets that they're protecting. So I encourage you folks to think about that and to think about what you own and what you need to protect. Now, I said in the previous segment I was going to talk to you about how to protect the trade secrets. Number one, don't tell everybody about it. Number two, if you tell them about it, don't tell them how you do it. Only let certain people have that information. Key employees that have to know how to do it in order to make it happen. The people who spread the special sauce on the bun don't have to know what the special sauce is made of. Now, the people who make the special sauce have to know that. So the people on the line spreading the special sauce on the bun, they don't have to sign anything. But the person who makes the special sauce, who puts it together, who manages it, then those are the guys that you need to have sign a confidentiality agreement and a non-compete and get an attorney to help you with that. And that's what you do. And if anybody, anybody who comes close to touching your trade secret intellectual property, make sure that they do that. Folks, you've got to do this because this is not 1878 when Robert Cheeseborough registered the name Vaseline. This is 2010. Things here are different in the 21st century, and there are lots and lots of people out there who would take your stuff. And if you leave it laying around, I mean, think about this, folks. If you go to the beach and you lay stuff out on the beach that's of value to you, and you walk off and leave it, and somebody comes by and picks it up, somebody comes walking by, they're going to pick it up and walk off with it because they think somebody has just left it and they don't care about it. If you treat your intellectual property that way, somebody will come by and get it and they'll assume that you don't care. And I know that isn't true, and you know that isn't true. So think about that, folks. Protect your intellectual property, and don't worry that you're not an inventor, that you don't need to patent something. Don't worry that you're not creating names that you'd want to register as a trademark or music that you're going to copyright. If you do that, you got to do those things. But if you don't worry. You're still creating intellectual property in the form of trade secrets, things that you do that gives your company a competitive advantage. Recognize that you make them, recognize that you create them, that you have them, that you use them, and protect them. Now, a couple of quick things on the internet. Do you have yourname.com? Have you gone to for example, networksolutions.com, netsol.com, and typed in yourname.com? I own jimblassingame.com. You should own yourname.com if it hasn't already been taken. If it's already been taken, then you need to do some variation of that, to whatever degree that you can. There are other things that you need to own. If you've got an idea for a business, or a website, and you're thinking about that name whenever you can, go to networksolutions.com or one of the others and find out if anybody has thatname.com, thatname.biz, thatname.net.org, whatever suits you. And find out about that and secure that name. I've been asleep at the switch on this before, and I won't do that again. I've been asleep at the switch on registering a trademark. I waited too long. Somebody else got it. I won't do that again. So many of the things that I recommend to you are things that I've made the mistake, and you get to benefit from my mistake. So think about that. It's 29 after. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back with Ivan Meisner. Stay with us. Oh,
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.